Part 14, Chapter 1. They had the compound. A final dive of Glencannon's battered plane had blown the air cooling through into the compound breathe gas pumps, flooding all the underground areas with air. Glencannon had landed the ship safely. A hidden gun battery had blown out his instrument panel and radio, but he had not been burned, and his controls still worked, and he got the ship back to the ravine. Scots, howling with joy, had pulled him out and pounded him on the back until sternly reminded by the parson that the pilot had broken ribs. A few more bursts of assault rifles had cleaned off some snipers. The pipe major had cut loose with bagpipes. The other piper and the drummer had thrown aside their rifles and picked up their instruments, and the high-pitched wail and low drone of pipes skirled across the compound to the beat of the drum. The last remaining cyclos came stumbling out of the underground with their paws on high. Oddly enough, they soon proved to be top-flight graduates of the various company schools and their female assistants. Breathe masks had been in short supply, having been put on combat teams who were going out to fight. But as Robert the Fox noted, these top-drawer ones had had their own personal masks. There were about 30 of them left alive. Hundreds of cyclos had died in the firefights, and hundreds more in the air flooding. By eventual count, there had been 976 cyclos in this compound. Kerr tried to get away by crawling through an exhaust vent and was captured alive. They got the fire system water valves and shut them off. A team raced around, checking for radiation with open breathe gas vials, and it was found that water had washed it down into underground drains. The area was relatively safe. Chrissy had been spotted by the Scots, and the news, earlier rumored to that effect, was now confirmed as she went about helping the parson collect wounded Scots on a flatbed that had been gotten running. She was a trifle taken aback by the enthusiasm that greeted her. She was not used to being a celebrity, and she did not realize that she had given the Scots an element called for in their romances. Everywhere she went, Scots, no matter what they were doing, rushed over to her, stared at her with glad eyes, and then rushed back to the work of getting the place handled. There was still a war on, but they could cheer and their pipes could skirl, and they could delight in the successful rescue of a fair maiden. But Chrissy, even though busy and very tender with the wounded, felt a suppressed terror that she masked. Johnny was not here, and she somehow knew Johnny was not all right. Scots, under the direction of Angus, were trying to get the tumble and jumble of forklifts operating. The whole hangar door was blocked solid with wrecked planes, and they could not move any planes out. They told a worried Robert the Fox it would be hours before they could get forklifts running and get to work on that pile. Turl tried to manage a last ploy. He got to see Robert the Fox by saying he had something urgent. They brought Turl up with hoist chains wrapped around him and held in four different directions by four brawny Scots while two others held assault rifles on him. He told Robert the Fox that he had keys to the drone presets and would exchange them for a promise of an early teleportation back to Cyclo. Robert the Fox said yes, if Turl could produce the keys. Turl thereupon asked for his boots. A female Cyclo, who said her name was Chirk, had been found in a breathe mask under the bed in Turl's old quarters. So Robert the Fox went to her, where she was being held under the spotlights of an otherwise wrecked mine car, and asked her whether she was Turl's secretary, and she readily said yes, she was. So Robert said he had a message from Turl for her to get the preset keys of the drone. Chirk had had lots of time to think since Zit sailed off on the drone for reasons of his own, and she had finally remembered about the keys. She got very cross and sent back the message that Turl must think she was very inefficient. He knew very well that he had given her a set of keys and told her to drop them in the recycling trash bin. And that had been ages ago, and the keys were long gone. And if Turl was trying to blacken her company record by saying she disobeyed orders, she could do a little blackening on her own. There was something about promising her a huge home on Cyclo. She was very cross. So Robert the Fox called for Turl's boots and examined them and found a false sole. He removed from it a very thin, small blast gun. Right now, Turl was chained up with four separate chain strands in a well-lighted field with an assault rifle on him. He kept snarling something about females. The compound was a litter-strewn bedlam of lights and noise. There were hundreds of cyclo bodies lying around in everybody's way. Everything was soaking wet. The Chamco brothers had gladly contracted for 15,000 credits a year with a 500-credit bonus for each major job. They were a little apprehensive about a counterattack from Cyclo, but pay was pay. They were laboring with the team of Scots to get radios back into operation, but it didn't look like they would earn 500 credits right away. Water had saturated a lot of equipment, and the transshipment area was a write-off. Nobody could get a plane out into the open where its radio could broadcast, and Glencannon's ship radio was just fused metal. Robert the Fox walked up and down, his old cape flowing. He answered where he had to and gave orders where needed, but his mind wasn't on it. The 12-hour radio silence was up, and he was out of communication on the planetary band. He could not order the ships that had attacked the remote mine sites to go look for the drone. He had no ships to send. He went over to where about 20 wounded Scots were laid out in a field, being handled by the parson and schoolmaster and four old women. And Chrissy. His eyes and Chrissy's eyes met. Robert the Fox felt very bad. Johnny had been right. It would not have done to wait for mine site-bound ships to attack the drone. They had left long before it fired, and they knew nothing of it. And he could not even tell them. He had a feeling Johnny was in trouble. Robert the Fox gave his head a slight shake. Chrissy looked at him steadily for a moment, swallowed hard, and then went back to work.